school of winds and winds in this off and elements and it's raining on shrines.
Hello and welcome. No.
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 Some dead air and fridge humming. That's a good way to start.
It's a good name for a podcast.
It is.
It's
dead air and fridge humming.
In fact,
that's too late to change, right?
That's my drum and bass DJ name.
It's too close to the truth, isn't it?
Dead air and fridge humming. God. Oh my God.
Hello and welcome to Radio Charades. Something, 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 about something, 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 something. Yeah. So if you're interested in something, 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 or something, something, then you're in the right place for top class something, something. Toby Frost, how are you?
I'm, insert words here, Owen Roberts.
Lovely.
Once again, I'm delighted to insert words here, you, on the Top Flight podcast, Radio Charades.
Good, good. That was the seventh try at the beginning, so that one's staying.
The reason we did that was not as a sort of clever, witty repartee, it's because we've literally run out of words.
Yeah, we've done them all.
Mm.
I remember the heady days of Aardvark, but...
It was anti-disestablishmentarianism that threw me. I never enjoyed it.
No. Yeah, let's do a podcast.
Mm.
Why? Don't know. What? Don't know. How? Vaguely know. But
who?
Let's do it.
I think we can do who.
Yeah, I can list them. There's only about 12 of them.
I didn't mean the listeners, I meant us.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah. We still outnumber the listeners, it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Owen Roberts, what have you been up to this week?
Ah, the famous What You've Been Up To segment.
Precisely.
Since we last spoke, I've done a few things, actually. I very recently went and saw the Thor Ragnarok movie.
Oh, yeah? Did it rock in a Ragnarok way?
Yeah, I thought Thor.
You thought Thor?
I thought Thor.
Really?
I said that a number of times at the cinema. So when I bought my ticket, I said, I was with our good friend Allard, and I said to the man behind the counter, 2 to Thee Thor, please. And he didn't even blink.
How many times do you think you heard that in that day?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question.
I mean, if you saw it at about, say, 7,
hmm.
I reckon about 40.
It was about 7, so, I'm not surprised it didn't react to me.
Was it good?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Yeah, really good fun. I don't want to think about it too much, because I have a sneaking suspicion if I actually gave the film any thought beyond, did you enjoy it? The answer is probably kind of, hey, that didn't make any sense. But I really enjoyed it.
Never stopped us before.
Yeah, it was kind of nicely sort of flippant.
Yeah.
Just good fun. Just a rollicking ride. It wasn't too long. It felt really quite short, actually. I think it was 2 hours, but it felt
that's a reasonable length for film, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed that.
Is it by the chap who made The Things We Do in the Night?
What We Do in the Shadows?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
I was thinking, they've got damn close to saying The Night Garden.
Is
there,
it Waikiki or Watiki?
Yeah,
or?
It's something very much like that.
Yeah.
It's a sort of Maori sounding name. Yeah.
Yes, he is a New Zealander, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was also provided the voice for one of the aliens.
And
he was,
oh, really?
He was very funny in that kind of...
Oh, cool.
And there were a couple of moments where I thought, this is sort of What We Do in the Shadows.
Right.
Humour coming out again. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Really enjoyed it.
Oh, great.
Good fun.
Yeah.
And I look forward to watching it again, actually.
Oh, right.
Because I thought, it's just good fun. Just good fun.
Hmm.
And I immediately, coming out the cinema, passed the poster for Justice League.
Oh, yes.
Which I am trying to work out if I can avoid seeing. Because I'm, you know, my affinity for Batman and...
Yeah.
DC comics, but not DC films. You know, I kind of feel like I have to go and see it because it's a Batman film, but I can tell that it's just going to be awful. I didn't need any reviewers to tell me it was going to be awful. Like, you can tell.
Yeah.
And they've forgotten, I don't know what they're trying to do. They're clearly trying to do something clever with the comic book genre. And they, you know, Christopher Nolan did that. He did the gritty thing, and it worked really well. And Marvel have gone for the whole spectrum of kind of everything from comedy to action-packed to, you know, high violence, if you watch some of the TV stuff. And they've done it really well and embraced the kind of almost the classic comic book styles.
Yeah.
And tropes and all that kind of stuff. And DC have seemingly kind of gone, oh, yeah, we know we're going to do something much cleverer than that. And
I've got a great mental image of just the citizens of Gotham sitting on a rubbish pile waiting for Batman to show up. Will he be here tomorrow? I do not know.
Why have you only got one shoe on?
Yeah.
They're really trying hard. And you know, Wonder Woman was great, but yeah, it still had the whole, oh, here's a big fiery demon bloke who you have to fight in some CG nonsense that kind of lost everything that the film had.
Yeah.
And I think that, I don't know, I just think that this Justice League looks like another step backwards from that again.
Right, yeah.
But I feel sort of compelled somehow through some kind of sense of duty to go and watch it.
Right.
Despite how terrible films have been. Yeah, like a desperate drug addict who's like, this time it'll be different.
Every time it gets weaker and weaker.
Yeah,
and you still can't kick the habit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On which note, I did watch all of Marvel's Punisher.
Are you good?
TV series. I thought it was brilliant. Really good.
Really?
Oh, incredibly violent.
Yeah.
Now, I'm no prude when it comes to violence, but it was really violent.
Right.
But I really enjoyed it as well. It was a really good look into that character who is a farcical character.
If you actually consider one of the less appealing superheroes, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, not in terms of like he's like a more villainous guy, just in the fact he's not a very exciting superhero.
Yeah. He's just a guy who's got angry some guns. He's angry, yeah. But they do some really nice things with the people who he comes across and people who he's against at various points, and even the guy that he sort of half teams up with, various different people suffering the effects of war and PTSD and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And then there's also lots of guns and violence and stabbing and stuff. So, if it's too highbrow for you, don't worry. It doesn't last long before somebody gets stabbed in the neck or something.
Well, I don't know if anything is too highbrow for me now because I've watched Paddington 2.
Paddington 2?
Yeah. Now, I was a big fan
of... I haven't seen it, so...
Okay.
When you say you haven't watched Paddington 2, because I haven't seen it.
No, not as well as you. I watched Paddington 2, which is a sequel to Paddington 1.
Oh, sorry.
See what you did there. Paddington 1, which I was a big fan of, thought was very good.
I remember
pretty
you
funny.
Saying.
And Paddington 2 just improves on the same theme, really.
Does it?
Yeah, the main character's all very, very good. The jokes are very funny. It's surprising how you can get a film that is for children and is very entertaining for adults without having to go into sort of, you know, into innuendo or adult territory.
Right.
I think there are a lot of jokes in there that adults would find more amusing. I mean, there are bits where, you know, there's a bit in the prison where there's a character who's sort of unusually well-spoken and is clearly an MP.
Right.
And speaks in sort of, you know, MP sort of phrases and, you know, that's a joke only adults are going to get.
Okay.
But by and large, yeah, it's very, very good, and it's, you know, children will get it, adults will get it too. And Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant puts in a very, very good turn as the baddie.
Yeah.
Basically playing Hugh Grant.
I've heard good things.
He's basically a mixture of Hugh Grant and, who was the man who used to play James Bond? Not Sean Connery.
Which one?
Roger Moore. A woman. Yeah. That one.
Right.
Yeah. He's basically Hugh Grant as Roger Moore as Hugh Grant.
Right, okay.
And it's very, very funny. And it's quite hard to work out what's so funny about him. But, you know, when he says things like an evening of monologue and song, he delivers it very amusingly. So, yeah, that's very much recommended.
Cool, so that's excellent. Two recommends, then.
How they train that bear to do all that stuff is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, it's remarkable.
He's only little, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Or is he further away than I think?
No, he's quite near.
Right.
He is quite near. He sort of comes up to people and stuff, and he's about up their waist.
Right, okay.
He's basically a kid.
He's basically a kid as a bear.
He's a kid as a bear, yeah.
Cub.
Yeah, I mean, you might be quite interested to, well, no, you won't, because you're not a lawyer. But there are several quite intellectual, highbrow articles on legal websites about Paddington's immigration status.
Oh, right. Because you've got nothing better to do with your time.
That's right, than read about
Presumably, you're charging me by the hour whilst you're writing articles about Paddington.
Yeah, and I was actually billing the people who wrote it for taking up my time.
Right, okay.
Yeah. One small thing they seem to leave out of it was the fact that Paddington isn't actually a human.
He's a bear.
He's a talking animal. No one seems to affect him.
Is quite easy to work out because of his name.
Paddington
Bear.
Yeah, I mean,
I know that names don't necessarily... I mean, like, you're not actually some Frost.
No, no.
But...
Well, technically, I think he's called Paddington Brown because he lives in Mr. and Mrs. Brown.
Right.
The Brown family.
Mm.
I'm not sure.
But he does look a lot like a bear.
He clearly is a bear.
Right.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's one
of those... lawyer's a bit thick.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
But it's one of those films where pretty much anyone in it is...
Somebody. Right.
And you can just spend... If you don't like the film, you can just spend it watching it for a workout where you saw that guy.
Excellent.
So Richard A.R.D., is it?
Yeah.
Is in it for about a minute,
right?
Just pointing to a diagram and saying, "This is the diagram," and that's pretty much it, you know. Right. So it's full of people doing that. Peter Capaldi is the next door neighbour. Half of Armstrong and Miller is in there.
Top half, bottom half.
But it's a pantomime horse, so I'm not sure.
Right.
And Daisy from Space sells some newspapers.
Jessica Stevenson.
Yeah, yeah, and so endless people like that.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm surprised about the film is that Stephen Fry was not in it.
Right.
I'm sure there's a law saying that Stephen Fry has to be in a film like that.
Yeah. He would seem like an obvious choice.
So that's recommended.
Awesome. I also continued reading Kill or Be Killed, which continues to be an excellent comic book.
Is that Ed Brubaker?
It is one of his, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just received this novel.
Yeah.
This is the Pinces. Pinces of Death by Toby Frost.
Yeah, I got two boxes of these in the post, actually.
Oh, lovely.
And they had a big label in the front that said, "The Pinces of Drath." And I thought, oh, no. I was so relieved when I opened them and they actually had the title spelt correctly.
Drath. So,
Drath, I thought. Yeah.
So I'll have to remind myself how to read.
Yeah, and...
And remember where I have time.
Since the last podcast, we had the launch for that, which was very nice.
Yeah, that went down well, did it?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, Forbidden Planet were really nice, and it was a lot of fun.
I was gutted not to be able to go.
Yeah, buddy parent teachers. I mean, you should have brought them along.
Yes.
Teach them something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Teach you.
That was really good. And I also did the Steampunks in Space event up at Lincoln last weekend.
Not in space, then.
No, there were various rockets up there. This is the British Space Centre.
Yeah.
There were various rockets up there, none of which are actually British as such, but, you know, it was still fun.
But that's how we do museums in this country.
That is, oh, God, yeah.
Here's all this stuff. It's not technically ours, but the people who own it weren't really taking very good care of it. That's how we managed to nick it.
Yes, that's basically it. Yeah. So we'll be having a rocket.
Yeah.
It's actually well worth a visit. It's a really nice place, and it was a really good fun event, and it was cool.
Right.
So that's what I've been up to.
That's excellent. Should we crack on with some news?
It's the news bit with Owen the dog and Toby the human.
I was struggling with news today, so I don't know how long this will take.
I don't think anything interesting at all has happened.
No.
The most, you know, the headline in the news today was that some man has agreed that he did something wrong. So
there's been a lot of men doing things wrong, hasn't there?
Yeah.
We're a bad sort, us men, yeah. I'm afraid.
I think this man told some fibs, but then said he didn't tell some fibs.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
As opposed to saying that he didn't do those things that woman is saying he did. There's plenty of that about as well.
Yeah, there's plenty of that, yeah.
But we're going to steer clear of that, because it's almost Christmas, Tobes.
It is almost Christmas.
So... I thought a brief aside into Christmas,
okay.
Because I wanted to talk to you about how much you love a few of the Christmas traditions.
Yes, I do.
The build-up to Christmas. You are particularly vociferous about your love of Christmas jumpers.
That's right. I am particularly vociferous about quite how much I love Christmas jumpers.
Yes. You don't like Christmas jumpers, do you, Tate?
I'm not sold on the concept. Christmas jumpers. I feel about them the way a lot of people feel about Grandparents' Day. It's not a real thing. They just try to make it happen.
Right. I don't like Christmas jumpers as well. But then I'm not a big jumper wearer.
No, you're not really.
You're quite a big jumper wearer, but...
Yeah, reasonable. About 6 foot.
XL. It's a 6 foot jumper.
That's why the sleeves trail on the floor, man. Yeah.
So they get in the way of the legs.
Yeah.
So I thought, start off with some crispy jumpers? No.
Crispy jumper news.
Christmas jumpers.
Yeah.
This is the Christmas jumper that I'm sure that you will change your mind about.
Okay.
Because your favourite recording artist has released a Christmas jumper.
Right. Was she holding it hostage or something?
So let me read the full heading of this news item. Beyoncé released a Christmas jumper and people hate it. Which I think is brilliant. It was beautifully written. I've seen this jumper.
Right.
I'm told it retails at about £42.
£42?
It's...
I'm thinking it's more than one of these things.
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, right.
She's released a line of them.
Oh, I see, yeah.
But there's only one
style. Gotcha. You are up with this fashion business, aren't you? Yeah.
It says here, Beyoncé has released a $55 Christmas jumper and it has left fans infuriated.
Wow.
Who could get infuriated by the release of a Christmas jumper?
I'm trying to imagine the kind of people who wouldn't. I'm not succeeding, actually.
I have seen it,
and
it is rubbish.
Right.
It reminds me of another Christmas jumper, actually, but I'll get onto that in a minute. It's sort of a black round neck jumper.
So yeah.
Pretty boring, pretty plain. And it looks like somebody has tip-exed on the words Beyoncé holiday sweater. It looks terrible. It does just look like somebody's tip-exed or just painted on Beyoncé holiday sweater.
It looks
truly terrible.
This as... one of the jumpers worn by Robert Smith from The Cure.
Yeah.
Looking like a deactivated mime with Beyoncé holiday sweater, tip-exed across his tummy.
That's about right,
Trying not to cry.
It's just rubbish. It looks like a parody. It looks like somebody's kind of thought, this would be funny, I'll write that on a sweater, and everybody will go mad. And say it's real. It looks like a joke. The other thing it looks like is another holiday sweater, which... the famous scene from Die Hard when he sends one of the baddies back down in the lift wearing a sweater that says, now I have a machine gun, ho, ho, ho.
Right.
And the kind of font sort of almost looks like that. Somebody's daubed it in finger.
So now I have Beyoncé's jumper, ho, ho, ho.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which has now been released as a Christmas jumper as well. The Die Hard one.
Oh, I see,
buy that as a Christmas jumper, which I think is quite a nice Christmas jumper. Having a bloody...
Yeah, it's probably better than Beyoncé's Tipex jumper.
Truly rubbish, but I'm not infuriated by it.
No, I mean, to quote on Vogue, I'm never going to get it, but I don't really
want... Are you never going to get it?
Never going to get it.
No, you're never going to get it?
Never going to get it.
Never, never, never.
Never.
Never going to get it.
No. Now it's time for a breakdown. Let's not do that anymore.
Yes. Would you like to know why you should put your tights in the freezer before wearing them? No?
Well, it makes armed robbery quite difficult, otherwise.
I didn't research.
Yeah, go on, tell me.
Apparently, one should put one's tights in the freezer before wearing them.
Yeah.
Apparently, that strengthens them. Apparently, you only have to do it the once. So when you get them first, put them in the freezer, strengthens them. You don't get as many ladders in the tights. The colours stay better. Apparently, there's something to do with the cold that
So I can wash my tights afterwards and not have to put them in the freezer every time I wash them.
No, it doesn't sound like it, no.
So this is like it's like proofing them.
Yes, it's like pissing on your leather.
I'm sorry.
You know when you're making leather and you dry out the hide?
Right.
Pissing on it is one of the ways that you, the tanner... strengthens and reinforces the leather.
Well, that never happened in Skyrim.
It did.
Oh, really?
I used to
be an adventurer like you, but then
I pissed on my leather.
That's what happened when the dragon flew past. Yeah. I see. Well, I never knew that.
Do you
not? No, it's completely new to me.
It's like the fact that...
I'm just a bit uncomfortable about my wallet now.
When you have... Yeah, quite. when you have finished making your sword,
yeah,
and bashing it out, yeah, of you, the metal, you stab somebody with it because the iron in the blood strengthens the blade.
Oh, right, okay.
The same effect can be achieved from stabbing a potato because the potato's juices will have a similar...
God, I bet the potatoes were cross when they found that.
Annealing effect.
Yeah.
On strengthening the blade, apparently.
Right.
I don't know the full... I used to know the full ins and outs of that, but yeah. Stab a potato. It's as good as stabbing a human, apparently.
Right.
Yeah. a senior Scottish reverend has told Christians that they should pray for Prince George to be gay.
Now, I saw this
title. Did you?
And I thought, what the heck, really?
Well,
I don't really understand the logic of any of that. I don't even know who Prince George is.
He's the little
one. He's the little one, isn't he?
The tiny one.
Yeah.
Not the tiniest, but he's the little one.
The second smallest.
Well, he's the heir to the throne.
Oh, that guy.
He's of the littlest people. Of the children.
Yeah, children.
He is the eldest son.
Okay.
So he's in line for the throne. There was logic behind the reverend saying
this, okay,
which I thought was quite good, but a bit weird and a bit of a long game as well. So I think he was reflecting on the recent engagement,
yes,
with the other prince fella.
I know the guy you mean, the one who looks like the
reverend. Harry?
Yeah, Harry. He's engaged to Angela Merkel, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
But she, of course, is a divorced lady, which the church frowns upon. But, of course, not our church.
Right.
Because our church basically got made so that we could divorce. So that
ginger people could get divorced.
Yeah.
Right.
And no, so that people could marry people who were divorced.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
There was all the stuff with Henry, right?
Yeah.
The eighth one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, this reverend has suggested that the only way, or the best way, that LGBT rights,
yeah,
are going to get advanced in this country is if somebody in the royal family is out as a gay person.
Right.
So he's suggesting that it would be a lovely thing if this young prince grows up to become, or to be gay,
right,
to become, and to have the love of a good man, and then to want to marry that man.
Right.
And then it will further LGBT rights in this country.
Okay, I mean, so, that's quite a long game, isn't it?
That's what I was saying, yeah. It's like a 25-year plan.
Yeah, it's a bit...
Is there nothing we could do in the meantime?
A bit like saying, well, you know, second mortgages are a real problem, but if the king had two mortgages... Just saying. Yeah, that's kind of weird, but isn't it? Because, I don't think you need the king to actually be involved in something for things to get better in that respect.
Yeah, I think it's a bit... It seems like a bit of an excuse, isn't it? Well, we could just be nicer to one another, but we
She's
really
waiting for the
need,
king to be nice.
We really need a head of state to lead the way in that.
Yeah.
Should everybody have equal rights? Well, let's wait 25 years to see what, like, not the next king, but the king after that does.
Yeah.
And if that's that, that'd be great.
That is quite a weird one, isn't it? That doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense to my mind.
News-wise, I started trying to get myself on a few lists by looking up conspiracy theories. but I read a lot of them, and some of them quite interesting. Some of them just clearly have been listening to our podcast and reporting all what we're saying,
because really?
The same story's coming up.
That's really weird, isn't it?
Do you remember the chap who had texted his mum that if he was to die, she should investigate?
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Mm.
I found some more details about that.
Okay.
Apparently, just before his death, which has been ruled by Polish authorities as natural causes...
They would.
Yeah, they would, exactly. Just before he died, he vomited 2 litres of black fluid.
Bloody hell.
Apparently.
Right.
Yeah.
Gosh.
There's no more on that story other than what we've already reported.
Right.
That quite a nice little end quote for you here from one Miles Johnson, who also researches UFOs, and he told BBC Radio 4 that Spears, who was the guy we were reporting upon, knew he was going to die after working to expose enemies within other realities.
Is that like Warcraft?
Well, it gets better. We are dealing with a predator within humanity, a fifth column, which has been successful so far in causing us a great deal of damage and harm. People like Max were involved in exposing that fifth column. He knew he was going to die. He knew he was in a trap. He told his mother that. It's been a long time coming, but I'm just relieved that at last something is happening and there's a proper investigation and inquest.
Is there a capital put on this predator?
No, sadly not.
Oh.
There is on Max.
Because he was, you know...
Yeah.
He was among humanity.
If it wasn't true, what he talks about, then why would they kill him? Healthy people...
Don't read this website.
Don't just get sick and die, they get poisoned.
Right.
Yeah. Which leads us very nicely on to some Japanese news.
Ah, yes. What's going on in Japan, then?
A half aeroplane, half eel creation has been named Japan's favourite mascot, following a vote in which hundreds of thousands of people took part.
A half aeroplane, half eel?
Yeah, it looks amazing.
Is it just like a really bendy plane? Because they're quite long and thin, and so are eels.
It didn't look a lot like an eel to me. It kind of looked like a bit like an aeroplane, really.
With a face.
Like, imagine sort of a blue cartoon penguin.
Yeah.
And under its flippers, it's got like a jet in the armpit.
Right.
Like a jet engine under its armpit. Yeah. That, it kind of looked like that.
Okay, right.
But he won.
Blue Pingu.
And I'm almost interested to read the rest out loud because I wonder how many of the words I can do. How many of the... The city of Narita's Unari-kun. That's the competition.
Right.
Polled a staggering 800,000 votes in the annual Yuru-chara Grand Prix to choose the country's top mascot.
It's Grand Prix.
Sorry. You're a Grand Prix. The honour proved too much for Narita's deputy mayor, Kenji Senkin, who was present at the event. Said, "I'm close to tears," he said, as he thanked the voting public. In second place was the rabbit-eared Chiriyopi of Chiryu, followed by Trai-kun, a rugby player from Higashi Osaka.
Is he literally just a man who plays rugby?
Yeah, a rugby mascot. And I know you're a corporate fan, so Risonia the Cat won the best corporate mascot.
Right.
Emerging victorious in its category from 1,158 company and regional characters.
Is this like sort of... Glaze had to get the most votes, or is it like Robot Wars?
This one was just on votes.
No.
But I think often they are pitted against each other.
I was hoping that's what would happen, because we could actually help these guys. Because we've run a similar competition.
Because we know how to run a classic
Undead, with kings, with all kinds of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Best robot, you know, we could do loads of good stuff.
Maybe we ought to do a best mascot.
Maybe we should, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I know that we don't have access to quite as many as the Japanese seem to.
Yeah.
German police find World War II bomb was a big courgette. I almost got you when you were drinking that.
You timed it just right, actually.
If I timed it slightly better, you would have sprayed squash all over the expensive recording equipment.
That's right, we're shorted Pingu out. Well, that's... I can see where they're coming from, yeah?
Apparently an elderly man found a vegetable that looked like a bomb, and he feared the monster courgette he had found in his garden was an unexploded World War II bomb and called the police. The 11-pound courgette had probably been thrown over a hedge into the 81-year-old's garden, police said. Luckily, no evacuation was required.
What bad luck with this man to find the only courgette in Germany with fins and a swastika on the front.
So, 16-inch vegetable, apparently, really did look like a bomb, police said.
That's a hefty courgette, though, isn't it? 16 inches. I mean, that's like a truncheon.
When does a courgette become a marrow? Is that not...
That really does need a ridiculous pun answer, doesn't it? When it's a jar.
That wasn't it, was it?
No. I don't know. When's the courtship come? Because it's just a man.
Oh,
a
Gord just... knows. Oh, Gord knows. Is that good? Will you allow that one? Is that ridiculous enough for you?
Well, I mean, I won't walk out the room. You know, yeah. It's
like, Gord knows. Yeah. Well, that's quite good, I think. I think you've been unkind to me there.
Fair enough, yeah.
A man has been fined for painting road signs to aid his commute.
Okay. That's quite strange. How did the road signs aid his commute to the left here?
Well, I saw that the straight lane was always packed with cars, while the lane that turns left has a lot of space. I thought changing the signs would make my commute smoother, he told police.
See, I thought he was just putting a little blob on the corner of the sign saying, no, it should turn. What he's doing there is redirecting traffic. And that's, in a busy rush hour, it's probably quite illegal. Where is this man from?
This is in China, I think.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, Luoyang, Jiangsu province.
Okay.
Yeah, it's caught, there. Caught on camera with kind of spray paint.
I do think that's brilliant, though. Yeah, that is a brilliant way. I mean, I think I quite like it on my commute. I don't know where it changed.
You commute by train.
Yeah, but I draw some pictures on the way.
I think you're allowed to draw some pictures along the way.
Oh, well, in that case, I would get on with it, didn't I?
I don't think it's going to improve... It might improve your moral state on your commute.
Yeah, cheer me up.
I don't think it'd speed things along.
Right, no, it wouldn't speed things along.
Well, if you gave an amusing cartoon drawing to your train driver, I don't think he's going to go faster just because, hey, that guy gave me a cartoon, I'm off.
I hope you invite me up to the front to have a go.
Well, maybe he would. I don't know. And do you remember I reported on stag photos? Stag selfies, do you remember?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Stag selfies. The ladies are not to be outdone.
Right.
Because this Christmas season, I should warn you before I read this, that on my trek through the underground to find the latest news, I did end up on the Sun newspaper website.
Oh, right, and you're in the Sun.
Likewise, the Daily Star newspaper website.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so I apologise if this is... beneath us.
Right.
But...
yeah.
Apparently this...
Are you in the Sun then?
What?
Does that mean you're in the Sun?
Am I in the Sun?
Yeah.
You mean the newspaper?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, I see, you've just been reading it.
No.
Oh, I see.
I accidentally clicked on a few links.
And here I am, you're on
to the webpage.
Right, okay.
Yeah. It's... I was baffled by the whole process.
Right.
It is a dark... It's weird because, you know, having seen the main page of The Sun and The Daily Star and some other quality publications, it is really weird that in our day and age a paper which is, or a website which is reportedly preaching the news looks so rubbish. Pornographic was what I was going to say.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah.
And it is lowest common denominator. It's a cross between the latest EastEnders tattle or storyline or whatever. And yeah, can we see any pictures of women with their tops off? And oh, look, this famous person has made a wardrobe malfunction. It's really weird that in our progressive society, we've still got this dead weight of media that's just kind of like, why is that still a thing?
One of the most internet-y things I've ever heard about the internet was a man who made a site parodying the Daily Mail's coverage of the A-level exam results.
Oh, right.
Which, as you can imagine, consisted largely of sort of 18-year-old girls jumping up and down.
Right.
Unfortunately, the man who made this parody site had to take it down, but a load of dirty old men kept looking at it. Which just is kind of, for me, sums up the internet, really.
Yeah.
It's just like a dog biting itself in the tail. So, yeah.
I don't know, there's something weird about... I mean, we're not going to get into a discussion on pornography, because that's a whole other can of worms we don't want to open.
That's a weird pornography, right?
Yeah. Whatever you're into. That's a different issue. But it's weird that it's allowed to be this kind of mainstream thing.
Yeah, like, it is. It's just so shoddy, isn't it? Yeah. That you can. Yeah, I mean, there is this whole.
And
sort
I think
of,
this story will nicely reflect it. As
I mean, there is this whole industry devoted to kind of
here's an actress you may have seen in a thing.
Yeah.
Here's said actress in as few clothes as we can find as possible.
She's got a short dress on and she fell over.
Mm.
Yeah.
So is this a story about a man with a short dress who fell over?
No.
Oh.
I'll read it word for word.
Okay.
Oh dear, spelled D-E-E-R.
Yeah.
Women are decorating their boobs, and that's in capital letters, just in case it wasn't enough just to say boobs.
I'll read the story now.
To look like a reindeer for a weird Christmas craze. So, yeah, this seems to be...
This asks me so many questions, doesn't it?
Well, it seems to be, from the Sun's coverage, that one, if one was a lady, would pop out one breast.
Right.
And decorate the nipple to look like a Rudolph's nose, and to put eyes appear and then a kind of, you know, antlers.
This sounds like one of those novelty postcards that you can get with some punk standing in London that are clearly 20 years old.
Yeah, very like.
Right, yeah. Okay.
And clearly made up by the Sun.
Yeah, that's one of the weirdest things I've ever heard.
Yeah. So apparently that's a weird Christmas craze.
But it's almost the perfect headline though, isn't it?
Yes. We've managed to get a pun, the word boobs, and it's Christmas. So
yeah, Christmas animals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a bit of a sad note to end on, really.
Well, it's a bizarre note to end on.
The last one I've got, which I don't think is of note or worth. Computer glitch leaves American Airlines without any pilots for Christmas.
Did they ask the pilots for Christmas, then? Because you think an airline would actually have some.
No. Yeah, apparently 15,000 flights could be affected during a busy week of travel.
Well, the only thing to do is to load up Father Christmas's sleigh.
There you go.
I mean, do you think he could actually pull an aeroplane? Because given his sleigh...
I think it's mostly magic, isn't it?
Well, yeah. His sleigh is pulled by reindeer that are magical.
Yeah.
You know... I can't see why he can't work through magic on, say, a plane.
I wonder whether he needs that many reindeers.
You think he could spare a few?
Reindeer.
He could spare a few.
I don't know, I'm just asking the questions.
Yeah, he might be able to, actually.
But
yeah.
Other media outlet won't ask.
No, the mainstream media hasn't picked up on this stuff.
Typical of them.
Except for the Sun.
This one, I don't think that one was from the Sun, the American Airlines without pilots. Yeah, well, there you go. They're not going to... I don't know. That's not really very interesting, but... That's okay. We can do something more interesting now.
Okay, that's right.
Fine.
Today's special feature.
We're going to watch some cartoons, right?
Yeah.
Cool. So the plan is, dearest listeners...
Yes.
Listeners. That's one more thing that I've been doing this week. I've been... trying to engage with some more internet people in order to kind of build listenership.
Right.
And the way that I've done that is get into some communities of other podcasters.
Wow. You like sneaked in?
I sneaked in and they said, hello.
All right.
And I said, hello. And that's nice. So some of it's just kind of... It's like before we were shouting into the void...
Yes.
And aimless and projectionless. And
I was quite enjoying that.
Who knows where we were projecting to, which is lovely, of course. And now...
I was projecting kind of onto the floor.
Nice. That's why the audio quality is so crisp. And now it's like shouting into a room full of people who are also trying to shout into a room full of people. So basically now that I'm sort of communicating with a few people who are doing exactly the same stuff as us, but much more successfully.
Right.
It's quite depressing. I hate
these guys.
Yeah. It's
other authors and just, people like that.
Just people who have decided to make a podcast. I think they put a lot of effort in.
Oh.
To the...
Well, somebody should have told me this.
Stirring up of...
dissent.
No, what's that word?
Enthusiasm?
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Apathy? Yeah, I'll have apathy as well.
Yeah, all right, Gavin.
Yeah, so it sounds like if we want other listeners, we have to make effort.
Right.
Beyond what we're already making.
Oh, good God.
I think we make quite good effort.
Our effort's superhuman.
See, the thing is that we concentrate our effort on the quality product.
That's right.
Not on trying to get people to listen, because that's just shallow, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think we are, you know, about as good as the archers. And
at what? Firing arrows.
being on the radio.
Oh, right, okay.
And, you know, and less of our stories are about cows.
Well, we could put some more cow stories in if that's popular.
We could try that. We'll bend to more robots.
Yeah, we'll bend to public. Well, that's fine. Yeah, so if anybody's joined us from any, found us via any of those means, then, well, hello, nice people from the internet. Hello, nice people.
Yeah. It's good to have you on board.
Yeah, settle in for what is the nonsense that is Radio Shards.
Yes.
So the plan today is we're going to watch some cartoons.
Yeah.
And whilst we're watching the cartoons, we won't be recording it.
No.
No, that'd be silly.
We don't miss the subtle bits.
But then we'll come back and we'll tell you what we thought about the cartoons.
That's right.
So we think we've got at least two episodes in us about this. Wow, that was a good sentence. We're going to.
Well,
do
I just nodded in response. Yeah. So, yeah, we're both equally
on proper the same radio level. Professionals. Yeah. We're going to do two episodes. The first episode, which you're already listening to, well done you, is going to be about cartoons that we've known and loved for a long time.
Yep.
We're talking about cartoons that are, I suppose, mature or adult or bridge the gap between the two things.
Yeah, I mean, there's some sort of, you know, 12-rated stuff, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're cartoons, some of which we've been watching since we were 15-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some new ones. So that'll be the first episode. We'll do those. And then the second episode, we're going to watch some cartoons that the internet seems to like.
Yep.
And seems to think is for, you know, the discerning, mature viewer. So,
yes.
Today's episode, we're going to watch some Ren and Stimpy.
Yep.
We're going to watch some Tick.
Yep.
We're going to watch some Futurama. And we're going to watch some SpongeBob SquarePants.
Okay, so let's break out the port.
Yes, yes. Yeah, some fine, fine port. After each, we'll have a little bit of discussion, then we'll bring it all back together at the end and tell you what you should be watching.
Sounds legit.
Nice. Right, so we've just watched an episode of Ren and Stimpy.
Yep.
The internet told us that the best episode of Ren and Stimpy was going to be Stimpy's Invention.
Yep.
I think the internet on this occasion probably correct.
Well, I think
there are some other classics.
Very, very good.
We've just put it this way. Toby and I have just sat here either giggling or reciting the episode word for word.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that is probably, along with maybe Marooned. Space Madness.
Space Madness.
Are the two episodes. I hadn't realised how much of that I actually say on quite a regular basis.
Yeah. Just to clarify, this is the one with the Happy Hat and the Happy Happy Joy Joy song.
Well, let's talk about what Ren and Stimpy is first, shall we, briefly?
Ren is a chihuahua,
yeah,
and Stimpy is a sort of cat.
Fat cat.
They don't look anything like a chihuahua and a cat.
No. Which is a joke they keep making as well through some of the episodes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, quite often Ren is referred to as a mosquito. He's got this sort of weird beak almost, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah, and Stimpy could be any kind of animal, really.
An idiotic one.
Yeah.
They're both kind of idiotic, but in very different ways.
Yes, Ren's a kind of tightly wound neurotic, a bit like every chihuahua.
And Stimpy is the kind of blissful idiot.
He's a simpleton, really.
He's a simpleton, that's right.
Yeah.
A Stimpleton.
Nice.
They probably used that at some point.
Yeah, I must have.
This episode is genius.
Yeah,
it is. It's everything you need to know about Ren and Stimpy as well. If you've never seen it before and you're not sure whether you want to watch any of it, watch that one.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think the cartoon ever gets more intense or intensely itself. Yeah, this is like Ren and Stimpy.
Because you start off with a kind of insight into their daily house life.
Yes.
So let's do the plot. The plot is, because there's obviously a plot of the episode.
Quite complex.
Very complex.
Stay tuned.
Stimpy has invented some things and wants Ren to try them out.
Mm-hmm.
Ren is trying to read his newspaper
and
doesn't want anything to do with it.
Yeah.
The inventions, I wrote them down in case I forget them, but of course, how could you forget? The cheeser phone.
Yeah.
Which is basically a telephone and some cheeses strapped to Ren's head.
Which enables you to communicate with cheese, whatever language the cheese is speaking.
Yep, so you can speak in, I can't remember.
Limburger
is what they say, yeah. But that just gets thrown at Stimpy's face instead.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a lot of the violence in that bit I quite like, because
Stimpy, you kind of watch Stimpy as he explains, joyfully explains these inventions, and then from off screen, the invention gets thrown back at him or destroyed
yes.
or slowly gets more and more angry. The second one is the remote control razor.
Yeah.
Which means you can shave
from other people, it seems.
Yeah. Stimpy explains you can shave from anywhere now.
Yeah.
But it then proceeds to shave an increasingly irate Ren.
Yes.
And then the last one is one of my favourites, is Stay Put Socks, which is a quote I quite often use.
Really?
It's like, well, whenever you're wondering how things work, I always go, how do they work?
They're full of glue.
The reason that I like that invention best is because Ren clearly thinks it's a brilliant invention.
Yes, until he puts them on.
Especially for those of us who don't wear clothes, as he says.
It makes no sense at all.
Yeah. But once he finds out how they work, they're full of glue, he gets increasingly angry and obviously wants to kill Stimpy and tries to claw his way along the floor, which he can't because they're stay-put socks. This leads to the mainstay of the episode, which is Stimpy working out that Ren's unhappy and he should use his powers of invention to save Ren from his unhappiness.
Yeah.
So he builds the happy helmet.
Yes.
And forces Ren to wear it, it seems.
He sort of
tricks him into coming over and then slams it on his head.
Yeah.
At which point Ren becomes happy. But it's clearly such an abhorrent sense to Ren's very being.
Yeah.
That it's a fight between body and mind, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's kind of it's like a parody of every film where someone's sort of being controlled against their wishes.
Yeah.
Or it's those sort of Hammer films where someone has, someone else has a murderer's arm grasped onto them to strangle him or something.
I tell you what it reminded me of. I thought, this is probably what it would be like if you took a 10-minute chunk of 1950s TV.
Yeah.
So maybe the episode that's just finished is something like I Love Lucy.
Yeah.
Then you've got the advert break.
Yeah.
And then you've got the first 5 minutes of The Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
And you put that all in a blender.
Yeah.
Take some acid and watch it. Yeah. I reckon you basically come up with Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Because there's this weird kind of household nature to their relationship.
Well, that's the thing that really struck me re-watching this, actually, is how 1950s it all feels. Yeah. I mean, the house they live in, the music is sort of very 1950s-y kind of Watch Your Mother type music. And there's a bit where we see Ren in bed and he's got these sort of 50s type sort of animals on the wall. And yeah, the whole feel is all kind of 50s suburbia.
Yeah, yeah.
And when Stimpy is doing his building of this happy hat, we get all these 1950s mad scientist images of him in his lab with sort of oscilloscopes and lightning.
Yeah, lit in that way.
Yeah. The whole thing is very, very 50s.
But then the whole thing comes to a climax with Stimpy putting on his favourite song.
Yeah.
The Stinky Whistle Teats classic, Happy Happy Joy Joy.
It's a masterpiece.
A masterpiece. And Ren and Stimpy dancing to this as Ren's mind finally takes control of the situation.
What was brilliant about this is that Stimpy is dancing with unadulterated joy. And Ren...
to start with is with him.
With this kind of dreadful smirk on his face because he's being forced against his will.
Yeah.
I should say that the scene where the sort of... the happy helmet kicks in and takes over his brain is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's like sort of pure 1950s science fiction horror.
Yeah.
It has this great moment where at the end where this hideous smirk sort of cracks across his face and he kind of screams, mind strong, body weak, and it takes control of him.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, they dance away and... do we want to give the ending of this episode away?
It was spoilers. I think we're okay with spoilers.
We're okay with spoilers, yeah. Yeah. And Ren finally manages to smash this thing off his head.
Yeah.
With a hammer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which leads him... And then, of course, he tries to kill Stimpy. And he realises that actually being angry makes him happy.
Yeah.
So everything's okay. And Stimpy has actually solved the problem. Ren and Stimpy generally... totally bonkers.
Yeah, it's got this kind of frenzied feel to it.
And varied in what level of bonkersness as well.
Yeah.
Like, you get episodes where it's almost like a linear
yeah.
cartoon.
Yeah.
Almost like a kid's cartoon.
Yeah.
And then you get episodes where it's just totally bananas.
Yeah, completely nightmarish.
And nightmarish at points, yeah. Yeah. There's quite often those, instead of an animated bit, there'll be a really detailed drawing of something grotesque.
Yeah, usually some snot coming out of nose.
Somebody's boiled face or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the all lovely use of classical music.
Yes.
And sort of very, presumably it's just sort of license-free music, but and very 1950s sounding stuff.
Yeah, I think some of it is taken from kind of public domain war film music and stuff like that. Yeah.
I did find a bunch of it a while
back. I've still got that somewhere.
Yeah, so have I.
Yeah.
But it's all kind of named things like Dramatic Incident 1.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's bananas.
Yeah,
It stands up to rewatching.
Definitely, definitely. It's still very funny. There's a bit where, I mean, it reaches this kind of mad peak where Ren is smashing himself on the head with a hammer to destroy the happy helmet. Stimpy is so happy he's dancing with each buttock separately on the floor.
Yeah, he seems to be able to control them independently of one another, which is impressive.
The whole thing kind of rises to this frenzied pitch. It's absolutely brilliant.
You invariably crack up at that bit.
Yeah, the buttock bit always gets me.
That always puts you into the silent mode of laughing.
Yeah.
The kind of just quake.
Yeah.
It's
quite sophisticated.
Yeah. I don't know whether it has, like, the creepiness of the space madness is very good.
I think it's kind of lunacy. Creepy, actually. I think there's a mad quality of the grinning bit where he's got this thing controlling his brain.
It's easier to watch than Space Madness.
Yes,
it is. Episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ren and Stimpy, highly recommended by Radio Charades.
Certainly that episode. I think they're a bit variable, but I think that's definitely one of the best.
Yeah, I haven't gone through a lot in a while.
I think the early ones are the best. Scene,
yeah. It kind of gets a bit more deliberately bonkers later on, I think.
Yeah, but I think that's very, very good. I mean, it's not really a children's cartoon in a way, is it?
No.
I feel like I could probably get more out of that than a child.
Yeah, no, I think you want to be a teenager at the very least, don't
you? Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I just don't think it would appeal that much to a younger child.
No, I don't think so. No, no.
I don't think you'd get the nuances.
It's very subtle, isn't it?
It's very subtle.
Yeah.
That Ren is an angry little chihuahua.
Yeah, so that was good.
Good stuff. Like that.
On my next one.
So we just watched a episode of The Tick.
Yes.
It was the second episode of the first season, right?
Yep.
Entitled The Tick versus Chairface.
Chairface Chippendale, yes.
Chairface Chippendale. So what's The Tick all about then, Tobes?
Oh, golly. The Tick is a parody, I think, of a number of comic books. The Tick himself is an enormous blue man-shaped creature with a pair of antennae, who fights crime basically by hitting things. He's exceptionally strong but very, very stupid. And he has a sidekick called Arthur, who is a former accountant who feels the need to dress up as a moth and fly around. Arthur are the brains of the operation and somewhat long-suffering. They have help from a range of sort of parody superheroes, including,
in this episode,
American Maid, who is a sort of, I suppose, Captain America meets Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Though she seems to run a catering company. Yeah. And Defledermaus, who is quite clearly Batman.
Yes.
And
on the live action, of course, is Batman Well,
yes, indeed.
Of course, The Tick. So The Tick started out as a comic book.
Yep.
Then it was a cartoon series. Then it was a short-lived live action series,
yep,
which is very good, actually, with Patrick Warburton as The Tick. And now it's just been redone as a...
Yeah, with Peter Serafinowicz.
The Tick. The Tick, which... a bit lukewarm to that.
Are you? I didn't see
it.
I mean, I've got to say, I think it works really, really well as a cartoon because it's in the same medium as the kind of things it's parodying.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks incredibly like the kind of Spider-Man cartoons I used to watch.
Looks exactly like the 80s cartoons. And one of the things that I've found particularly funny about it in the past is having gone and caught a bit of an episode of Thundercats.
Yeah.
the Tick's voice, which is an idiotic hero voice, is exactly the same as Lion-O.
Really?
Yeah, it's exactly
the same. Who is the same actor?
I don't know, but it's that sort of sheer idiotic hero.
It's just stupid enthusiasm, isn't
it? But I think that what the Tick does, or did, and what made it good, was it, I think it was sort of one of the first things to really kind of parody the superhero genre.
Yeah,
really.
I think so, yeah.
And I think, you know, there's a great bit at the start of that episode that we've just watched, which is them on patrol, which is just leaping across the rooftops.
Yeah.
And Arthur, who doesn't really play by the rules of superhero-dom, because he's just kind of a normal guy. Yeah. In fact, later in the episode, when the villain has captured them and is lowering them to their deaths, Arthur just goes, "You jerk!" And it's just really nice that it kind of breaks the back and forth that villains and heroes are supposed to have. And
yeah.
He just sort of lashes out, he's sort of angry.
I mean, Arthur reminds me somewhat of that kind of character that Woody Allen used to always play.
Yeah.
Nervous and nerdy guy.
Very much so. But at the beginning, when they're on patrol, Arthur says, "How long do we have to do this for? We've been doing it for hours." And the Tick says, "Well, we do it until something happens." And Arthur says, "Well, what if nothing happens?" And the Tick just goes, "We're superheroes. Something always happens." And then it probably does. So yeah, I do think it kind of very deliberately plays by the rules, breaks the rules, and kind of mocks the rules at the same time.
I've certainly heard that the more comics you know, the more jokes you get.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty funny from my point of view, because some of it's just so absurd. But there are episodes that I recognise as parodies of different stories. Yeah. There's one about going to the old folks' home, which is clearly a parody of The Watchmen, and things like that. So I think it probably does spoof a lot of comics.
Yeah, and like you say, it's just absurdity as well. In the episode we've just seen, it's Chairface Chippendale, who is a man who has a chair for a head.
It's a very small chair.
Yeah.
I think what I really like about Chairface Chippendale is what his chair is actually quite well drawn. His chair, his head, both. So you can sort of see the expressions on it.
Yeah, it sort of moves around a bit, doesn't it? It's sort of an animated
Somehow
chair.
He blows out candles with it.
Yes, that's... But in this episode, which is probably why it's a good introductory episode to the world, is that it's his birthday, and his evil plan for his birthday present to himself is to write his name across the moon with a big laser.
Yeah.
Nefarious deed, which when he captures the heroes, he says, "Aha, heroes, this must be the part where I explain my plan." which, again, sort of turning the genre on itself somewhat. But the reason why it's a good introductory episode to watch is because he gets partway through writing his name on the moon, and he gets CH and partway through A. And that stays for the rest of the series. Every time the moon is in shot, it does have CHA written across it.
There's actually an episode later on where they try and land on the moon to actually fill in the moon.
Yeah.
To try and get rid of the words, letters, CHA. So, yes.
I think it's a type of idiocy that you kind of have to get into the mindset for. Like, I think on the few occasions where we've had little marathons of the Tick, by episode 3, you've kind of reached a level of insanity that means that you're in that world.
Yeah.
And it's very funny as a response.
I would heartily recommend the Tick. I think it's fantastic. And I don't know that much about comics. It's just the silliness of it and the kind of weird consistency of the silliness, I think, is excellent.
Yeah, I think maybe watching it for the first time now, I don't think it holds as much as it once did.
Yeah.
Because I think it's actually quite slow for delivering what is basically 2, maybe 3 jokes.
Yeah, that's probably true.
You know, because there's the joke that he is a dumb idiot and is basically indestructible but thick as. There's the surrealism. And then there's the playing with the genre itself.
Yeah, I think you've probably got to like the setting of it.
Yeah.
Before you... or pick up on all the references.
Yeah, because Chairface Chippendale, you were asking me a minute ago who I thought Chairface Chippendale was.
Yeah.
Now, I think... Because he's sort of... He's the gentleman villain.
Yes.
And he dresses a little bit like the Joker.
But yeah, I think that's why I thought he was the Joker.
But I think he's actually Ra's al Ghul. who is Batman's sort of arch nemesis and sort of walks a similar path to Batman, but has just taken a twist at one point. Because there's he does some sword fighting in this episode, and that's quite a Ra's al Ghul thing. And he is the kind of master criminal of doing it for some kind of nobler reason, destruction. But but that's who I think it might be. But it's kind of every kind of well-dressed villain, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly cover the bases. Later on, I think one thing they do quite well is that the villain who has a sort of a theme, a bit like Poison Ivy or something like that. So later on, there's El Cid, who's a kind of giant sunflower man, and the bread maker and Buttery Pat, who are people who perform villainy with bread, I think, really.
Yeah, if nothing else, it's worth it for the rogues gallery of superheroes and supervillains.
Yes, I think brilliant.
Because that's quite a montage of villains in that one, isn't it?
Yes, they're all very, very silly villains.
Yeah. Zipperneck,
is it? Zipperneck, I think, and Mr. Potato Head.
And Boyles?
Yes, Boyles and Forehead.
Boyles, Forehead. Yeah. And those are the sensible ones.
Yeah.
Yours.
So I'm a big fan of The Tick, the animated series, and I think it's well worth a look. I think that's excellent.
Cool. Good. Let's move on.
All right.
Oh! Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants!
Absorbent and yellow and porous is he?
SpongeBob SquarePants!
Right. So we're back from watching an episode of SpongeBob SquarePants.
We are.
The epic odyssey of underwater coral life.
Yeah.
In Bikini Bottom.
Yeah.
The internet told us that the best episode was Band Geeks.
Yeah.
Which was a high-class episode. I'm not sure it was the best episode, but it was quality.
Yes.
SpongeBob, if you don't know, I don't know. I don't know what to say, really.
He is a sort of sponge. He's drawn as literally a square sponge in trousers. Shorts, actually. And he lives underwater with his friend who is a starfish, and they have adventures, really.
Yeah, because it's childlike glee for the most part from him.
Yeah.
And Patrick, who is the starfish,
in the starfish. Genuinely
stupid. And it's all about kind of youthful joy and glee. There's a lot of just unadulterated lightheartedness.
It's extremely uncynical, I think.
And then there's the neighbour, Squidward,
who
is a squid.
Yeah, and they wouldn't really know.
He's got enough tentacles that you'd guess.
Yeah, I suppose so. They kind of form groups, don't they?
His
legs are kind of forcing. But anyway,
And some of the other people in it are cynical, but it focuses definitely on joy.
Yeah, definitely.
What I find interesting about SpongeBob, and why, whilst I don't think that episode was the best ever episode, I can't tell you which one it is, because I can't remember any of the names or happened and stuff. And trawling through them all, it is kind of, it's weird because it's sort of every third episode is one that you can really enjoy as an adult. The intervening ones are just too childlike.
Right.
And then there are moments which are almost Ren and Stimpy-like in their graphicness.
But the drawing style is very similar, isn't it? It's got that 1950s kind of...
do you remember one?
Is it Nickelodeon type style?
There was an episode where they race their snails.
Oh yes,
Gary the snail gets into who is SpongeBob's pet and meows. Basically, gets into drag racing.
Right.
And at one point, he basically burns out and his eyeballs explode. I think it's supposed to be sort of akin to the tires on a car. But it's kind of horrific for something which is at least predominantly aimed at children.
Yeah, I think SpongeBob is much more childlike than, say, Adventure Time or Bravest Warriors.
Definitely.
It doesn't have the sophistication of the jokes, and the sort of slightly disturbing quality isn't there, and the whole kind of relationships between the characters are very obvious. Yeah, they're basically just kids with a few adults thrown in.
I would say that if you were going to watch SpongeBob for the first time, go straight for the film.
The film is great.
The film is amazing.
It's amazing. It's a great work.
Incredibly funny.
It's really, really good, isn't it?
I don't know quite what makes
SpongeBob funny, but it is very good.
I think there are a couple of very funny. I mean, the chap who does Patrick's voice is very, very good. Because Patrick is
it's
just
the Kurgan.
Is
from the Highlander.
Oh, really?
I'm sure it's him, yeah.
Really, that's what he does now?
Yeah.
How many Patricks are there?
It can be only one.
Yeah, and he's got this sort of stupid voice. It's the kind of voice that people have, you know, the sort of durr kind of voice. But they do it extremely well, basically. Yeah. And he comes up with silly things, basically.
It's also done with love.
Oh, yeah.
There's no intention to make him out to be a fool.
Yeah,
he's got no sense, but everybody kind of loves him and he does well in life. Somehow.
It's all quite friendly, isn't it? I mean, sort of Squidward is the least kind of friendly of the main characters, but he's just kind of a bit tired.
Yeah.
And probably being around SpongeBob, you would get a bit tired.
Yes. So you've got the childlike joy of it.
Yeah.
You've got the idiotic slapstick of it, which Patrick does incredibly well.
Yeah.
Obviously, because they are cartoony, there's some cartoon violence as well that is always done.
There's just sight gags, aren't there?
Yeah. I mean, in the episode we've just seen, a fight takes place, which then moves outside, and you can just hear the noises of the fight.
It is a classic fight, because it's a big cloud with fists coming up the top, like in the Beano or something.
And then one of the characters comes back in, having had his head pushed through a trumpet.
Yes.
Or a trombone or something. So you've got all that. You've also got sort of the slightly bizarre setting of it being under the sea.
Yes, I really like that.
Yeah, what I like about it, the fact that it's being under the sea, is it just makes no sense.
No, I mean, it's sort of...
There's a point...
They nod to the logic of it when they want to.
They nod to the antithesis of the logic when they want to as well.
Yes.
In the film, there's a bit that some staging falls over and it catches fire. Firstly, it catches fire for no reason, but then there's a fire underwater.
Yes.
And then the firemen turn out and put it out.
Who are fish.
Who are fish, but more to the point... It's underwater, and they spray water to put out the fire that's underwater. There's also a beach. They go to the beach sometimes, which is sort of an oil slick.
Sea somehow.
Well, it's sort of a mud slick.
Yes, it's rather weird that.
Yeah.
There
are some. I can't remember all the details of it, but there is somebody worked out a logic as to how it's actually a post-apocalyptic world. Hence, Bikini.
Yeah,
Bikini Bottom.
Yeah, Bikini Atoll.
And Bikini Atoll being. The testing ground. So, yeah, there's some suggestions that it's actually they are talking fish,
right? But they do. I mean, they occasionally go into the human world, which is basically still there, get some live action footage.
Yes,
I particularly like the fact there's a squirrel in it, and because they're nominally underwater, the squirrel basically wears a kind of diving suit or a space suit.
It's definitely a space suit.
And lives in a pressure capsule.
A diving suit would make way too much sense.
That's true. Actually, she lives in a kind of bubble,
a dome. Yeah,
the dome. Yeah. Yeah, which is really full of air.
I think that SpongeBob is very easy watching as well.
Oh, yeah. It's again, not demanding
stuff. I think we said it about The Tick, but you can just get into that mindset and just watch one after another and after another, and they just get funnier every time.
They get funnier and they make more sense, which you wouldn't think would go together at the same time.
You dive into the world, don't you?
Yeah, you do. Yeah, it's very weird, that. But yes, there are some very, very funny episodes.
Definitely something you could enjoy watching with a 5-year-old. And a 5-year-old would love it for Patrick and SpongeBob being silly.
Yeah.
And you could love it for all the other reasons. And this kind of... There are some wry things going on.
Yeah, I think there are.
There are some more sort of adult content and stuff. Not content, but...
No.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, there's some slightly more grown-up things you can laugh at, but not that many. You know,
and one of the finest villains ever, of course, in the form of Plankton.
Oh, he's great. Yeah, he's very, very
just
good.
A super villain, but obviously tiny and hence laughable. Do you want to say any more about SpongeBob?
No, I think that really covers SpongeBob. It's very enjoyable. It's completely throwaway. It's about a sponge who looks like a boy.
Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Absorbent and yellow and porous is he.
Great Cthulhu.
Right, moving on then.
Moving on.
Oh, Right, Futurama then, Tobes.
Yes, there was. Yeah,
there was Futurama. A lot of differing opinions on what the best episode is on the internet, but we watched Roswell That Ends Well.
Yep, that's definitely one of the better ones, I think.
It was very good. I think that, for me, Futurama has a consistently high quality. There are not many episodes, certainly of the original sort of six seasons, which I haven't seen numerous times.
Yeah.
And would be prepared to watch again.
Should we just very quickly say what Futurama is?
Yeah, okay.
It's made by the guy who did The Simpsons, and it's set in the future, and it's comedy. And that's about it, isn't it?
It basically riffs on every science fiction trope.
Yeah.
Or lot of references to movies and popular culture and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The episode that we've just watched was basically a setup to play on the grandfather paradox.
Yes.
I.e. they end up back in time and one of them ends up killing their grandfather and hilarity ensues.
Yes.
Or hilarity is well underway by that point, actually. I think that on our list so far, Futurama is the one that is the most coherent in terms of an episode tells a story.
That and The Tick, I'd say. But yeah.
But The Tick stories are just mentalism.
That's
like, at least Futurama, you could actually say, well, there is this plot.
There is a plot
to the episode.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
You know, it doesn't, and it's a self-contained plot.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
I would also argue that it's probably the best looking.
Yes, I think it is, actually.
Ren and Stimpy is very stylistic.
Yeah, likewise.
SpongeBob is deliberate. Yeah, and neat, but
I think that probably is the best of the lot.
I suppose it's a different thing. I mean, if you haven't seen it, you will no doubt have seen The Simpsons, and there's a similarity in style.
Yeah, I think Futurama is slicker. I mean, there's a lot of vehicles turning corners and sort of 3D looking things.
Yes, it's computer generated, the vehicle stuff, isn't it?
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, I think that Futurama, it works on the interrelationships between the idiotic people.
Yes.
God, it's like that book that I read where there are a bunch of people on a spaceship. They're all slightly idiotic in their own different ways.
Next Generation. Yeah. Except that was a TV show.
No, I'm thinking of something. It was a bit more British-y than that.
Oh, right, okay. It was
definitely a book.
Right.
By an author.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. So you've got a robot who is comedic because he's
just unwholesome, really.
He's just
sleazy.
A sleazy robot who wants most humans, if not all humans, to die.
Yeah.
And he wants to make a profit out of it, drink while he does it. You've then got a doddery old scientist who is right in the mad scientist category.
Yeah, clearly, yes.
Including some senility in that madness as well. You've got Fry, who's our eyes on the world. It's set in the year 3000.
And he's a man who's been thawed out.
From the year 2000. So so he's our eyes on that world. But he is a complete idiot.
Yeah, he's a simpleton, really.
He's a simpleton. Yeah. And is related to the doddery old professor.
Yeah.
And then you've got an alien. And yes. I think the joke that plays out with the alien is that he is pretty normal.
Is it Zoidberg?
Zoidberg is... he's very normal.
He eats a lot, he's fairly blasé about everything.
Because you don't... They never really explore the fact he's an alien that much.
No.
In the regular episodes, if they're not focused on him. He's a doctor. He's clearly very poor. And he has poor hygiene.
And then he's somewhat dopey.
I'm not sure he's dopey, is he?
Yeah, he's a placid.
Yeah, I suppose.
He's
and seemingly Jewish.
Yeah, he's definitely be Jewish.
He's the Jewish stereotype, isn't he?
Yeah, certainly when his family come along, they're very...
Yes. And of course, Conrad, Hermes, the Jamaican accountant,
who
wasn't actually in that episode we just saw, but he's not in all of them.
No, he's sort of slightly secondary person.
And then Leela, who's the competent...
Yeah, the competent person. Among the group. Yeah.
But slightly overridden by her anger management issues.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they're kind of a mismatched crew, and they have Avengers.
Hijinks, yeah.
Yeah.
It does sound familiar, doesn't it?
It does, actually.
I can't quite put my finger on what it is.
I think I've used those words before somewhere.
Yeah. I can't quite place it.
Yeah.
I think because it's a larger thing, in that it's a half-hour episode, they are trying to actually tell a story as well as throw in some jokes.
Certainly some of them get quite close to actually having a bit of meaning to them.
Yeah, definitely.
And some of them sort of take it a bit further than that one. It is character development and ideas and all the rest of it.
And relationship building.
Yeah. There's a thing that doesn't quite reset itself at the end of every episode as well. I think it's slight,
not necessarily there no. is some continuity to it.
Yeah, there's a slight amount of continuity. It is very funny. It's
way better than The Simpsons.
Yeah, I think so. I think with The Simpsons, you knew that if certain people were in it, it would be funnier than others.
Yeah. I think that The Simpsons was always kind of more of a family show for people with young kids.
Yes.
Not that young, but sort of similar ages to the kids in the show, maybe.
Yeah.
Whereas Futurama is sort of the two tiers to the jokes are kind of later, I think. They're older kids that would enjoy it, and maybe students, that kind of age group, and then older people.
I think they're better at weaving the two strands in together as well, because you know, you could probably watch that at the age of 12 or something and not really miss much. But you can get more.
Because there's a lot of quality slapstick.
There is, there's a lot of Vegas slapstick.
Yeah, you could just enjoy Bender being a miserable so-and-so, you know.
Yeah, and Fry being stupid and Zoidberg eating things. So, yeah.
It's probably the one that I've watched the most.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, I mean, there's sort of eight series or something?
I don't know how many there are now, because the movies kind of confused me, because they ended up being a season all of their own, and then there were some ones afterwards. I didn't like the ones afterwards quite as much, maybe because I haven't seen them as often, but I felt that they changed network.
Right.
And because of that, they had, I think it went from Fox to Adult Swim.
Right.
So they had less constraints on what they could get away with.
Right, so the later ones are
really... So it got racier.
Yeah.
And I think that actually, that sort of forced kind of politeness did them a lot of favours. Yeah, there wasn't anything too explicit.
No, I think the restrictions on comedy can often be as effective as kind of taking them away.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of comedy, it comes from people trying to express themselves or not being able to do what they want or having to find euphemisms or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think when you've taken that away, anyone can get away with anything. Yeah. I agree with you. It weakens it. I've heard Ren and Stimpy went the same way.
Yes, there's Ren and Stimpy Adult Party.
Yeah, which is about full on rude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which only a short season's worth, sort of five episodes or something. I'm not sure whether I've seen any of it.
I'm not sure I'd want to, really, because I think Ren and Stimpy, again, you know, my memory of it is this sort of children's cartoon, really, but grotesque.
It was slightly corrupted.
Rather than
full on.
Yeah, I think when you do it, you're really changing things. I mean, with comedy, a lot of it is about the kind of the setup and the shape of, you know, the way the characters interact with each other.
Yeah.
And if you're making it more adult, you're taking away some of the restrictions on how they interact, which, as you say, you know, takes away some of the opportunities for comedy.
Yeah, because the implication was always that Ren and Stimpy had a sort of... They were a household.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit...
But you don't want to be told that actually they are sleeping together.
No, it's about like Morecambe and Wise or something. Yeah. I mean, they used to sleep in the same bed, but they just did.
That was how they lived, yeah.
Yeah.
That's an easier way to look at Ren and Stimpy, I think, than outwardly just going, let's have it be racy and whatever.
Yeah.
Well, seeing as we've already started talking about cartoons generally...
Yes.
Let's just keep talking about cartoons generally.
All right.
Like cartoons?
Yes. which is lucky, because we've just watched about seven.
Yeah,
I do, actually. I mean, I think it's hard to pin down what makes them good and what doesn't.
Yeah.
I can probably say what appeals to me and what doesn't.
Mm.
I think of the ones we've seen, Futurama and The Tick are the ones that appeal the most.
Right.
They may not... I mean, we're talking about this when we were off-air. That sometimes the comedies you remember the most fondly or think are the best are not actually the funniest.
Right.
I mean, I'm a huge fan of Blackadder. I think it's terrific. But I've laughed harder at sillier things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, probably the hardest I've laughed for 2 minutes is a song in the South Park film whose title I can't give. It involves two Canadian men accusing each other of peculiar activity.
Yeah.
That's totally childish and stupid. And I can't respect that in the way that I respect Blackadder, which I think is very clever at points. Yeah. But in terms of laughter, then
likewise, I remember us drinking and ended up... I was staying at my parents' house and you'd come over to visit as well. And we ended up watching SpongeBob movie.
Yes.
And we were cut.
Yeah.
Or half cut.
We'd been to a rather sophisticated party, I think.
Three sheets to the wind. Anyway, we'd had a few beverages.
Yes.
And we're just absolutely roaring with laughter. And I remember my mum just coming in and sitting with us and equally roaring with laughter.
Yeah, yeah.
And she thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, I do think that that movie is absolutely brilliant.
Yes, it is very, very funny. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's those ones that I find I like more as bits of art or whatever.
Right, yeah.
But something like SpongeBob is very funny sometimes.
Do you like it as a medium generally, then, cartoons? Or would you steer away from it? Or?
Well, cartoons are a bit like radio plays, aren't they, really? Because you can depict almost anything for very low budget.
Right, yeah.
Which is why they've been really good for a very long time.
True.
You know, but, yeah, I suppose. I wouldn't particularly seek something out because it was a cartoon.
Right.
To be absolutely honest, I would be put off something if it was a sort of manga-type story.
Right.
Because I think those operate by different rules
that I don't get.
So I've watched, and this is kind of going away from the kind of light cartoons we've watched. I've watched sort of manga-type things that had good recommendations where they would just lurch from kind of extreme gore to kind of really sickly sentimentality and then back and forth, and you think, what am I watching here? You know, this is weird.
Right.
I'm not got the hang of this.
Yeah.
But I think when we're looking at these kind of more Americanized, more sort of Europeanized cartoons, then yeah.
Because I mean, I guess now I sort of approach cartoons from two different ways. Firstly, from comic books.
Yeah.
There's a lot of movies that get made from comic book
properties,
and it's become a bigger, obviously, as there's been a greater success with the live action movies from comics, from Marvel and DC. There's also been an increase in cartoon movies, full feature length cartoon movies, like, you know, there's a whole bunch of Batman ones that have been done. Actually, Gotham by Gaslight has just been done.
Oh, well, okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, which I haven't seen yet. But, and there was a set of five done that was sort of within the Christopher Nolan world movies, sort of between some of the films.
There was one of Hellboy, wasn't there? A couple of those.
Yeah.
Quite stylish, but then the comics. Yeah.
And the other one, of course, is through being a parent.
Yes.
And that's when you really start seeing how awful some cartoons are and how you do your utmost to avoid some.
Yeah.
And seek out others.
I remember seeing after Oliver Postgate died.
Oh, yeah.
I remember seeing a thing with Charlie Brooker about why he was so good. This is the guy who made the Clangers and various other Nog and Nog and things like this.
Yeah.
And about why he was so good. And you did realise that there was something very subtle going on in all the things that he made. And when you compared it to a lot of other cartoons, which were just basically a bunch of flashing images and noises, you know, you could see how a diet of that would probably rot your brain a bit.
Yeah, the one that I can't abide is Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's abhorrent. And unfortunately, Reese has really, really gone for it. Full tilt.
Oh, really?
We've got Burks, we've got everything is
Thomas. I'm told that, a bit like Tintin, there are sort of episodes that don't get shown now because they're not very appropriate to the modern era.
Certainly there was, to start with, all the trains are male and all the carriages are female.
Right, yeah.
And they're sort of silly, giggly things. But no, the main thing is it's just this weird indoctrination, of this work ethic,
right?
That one must be a very useful engine.
Well, apparently,
if we are not a very useful engine, then that's an incredibly bad thing.
Apparently, some of the ones they don't show or have never adapted, there is apparently a place, but they send the not very useful engines.
Oh, really?
Awesome. It's like a terrifying, desolate island of nothing. it's sort of a nightmare world that So it's like being banished to hell, you know. It's like a sort of a French philosopher's version of hell, actually.
I can believe it, because it's... And all the characters are really unpleasant, and they never get their comeuppance. And you just kind of think, no, you're not... It doesn't work in a kind of moral stance, which is weird, because it seems like it's trying to put across a moral code.
Yeah.
But it really doesn't.
And, of course, it's very old, some of it, so you'd think it would be quite sort of, you know, upright and all that kind of thing. Perhaps in a sort of...
Can't stand it.
Oh, really?
The one that I love,
yeah,
that I try and get Reese to watch whenever he wants to watch telly, is Hey Dougie.
I don't know Hate Dougie, but he has a stick, I believe.
There is a stick, yeah. Basically, it's he's a scoutmaster, effectively.
Oh, right, okay.
For this little group called the Squirrels. So it's five little kids, basically, going off to do activities with Dougie for the day.
Right, yeah.
Dougie's a dog. And for some reason, the kids all talk, but Dougie only woofs. There's a lot to it that's hard to explain. But it's
many levels.
It's brilliantly drawn, very clear, very basic shapes.
Yeah.
But it just works really nicely. But I was watching an episode the other day, and there were references to Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
The African Queen.
Yeah.
Platoon.
Platoon.
In this one episode. And they basically go upriver.
Oh, right, okay.
There was another... What was the other reference that was in there? Anyway, it doesn't matter, but something that obviously would be nothing for the kids watching it.
My Little Pony.
But everything for the adults that... just this brilliant Apocalypse Now riff.
That's just
awesome, as they just went up river.
Did they get out the boat?
They did get out of the boat.
Oh, well, there you go. See?
And they meet this kind of doped-out photographer on the shores that takes them to the... And it turns out they're delivering biscuits to this mad panda. Panda.
That actually would work, because Marlon Brando, he's kind of panda-shaped,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah,
at least at that point.
Yeah. So I don't think I'm going to escape cartoons anytime soon.
No.
It'll just be a gentle steering towards the ones that I enjoy.
That is quite bizarre, actually, yes. I don't have any children, obviously, so... I can't think of any sort of children's cartoons that well. I think all the things I remember affectionately were things like the Clangers.
Well, we've got the Clangers, the new version with Michael Palin.
It's very good.
Yeah, it's good. It stays very true to the original stuff, and it's that very kind of well-meaning and nicely moral kind of calmness.
Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, so of those cartoons, which would you pick as being the best one or the favourite
of the ones that we watched?
Yeah.
Depends upon the situation, really. I think if I had to watch only one of them ever again, I'd have to pick Futurama.
Mm, yeah.
Because I think that the tick... I get it now. I get the tick now. I don't need to see it again. Ren and Stimpy, similarly, and it's just... Both of them have a tendency towards bonkers.
Yeah.
Not necessarily particularly constructively. And SpongeBob, I look forward to watching SpongeBob with Reese. I think that will be something that I'll steer him towards. But I don't think that as an adult you necessarily want to watch every episode.
I think both SpongeBob and Ren and Stimpy are a little bit one joke.
Yeah.
And
how many of has the tick got?
It has got one joke, but the joke is perhaps a little bit more grown up at points.
Yeah.
That there are moments when you sort of see the private lives of superheroes and they're kind of downbeat, and that's quite amusing. But yeah, I say for variety of situation and quality of jokes,
somebody actually telling a story as well, which if you were watching them again and again, you kind of feel a bit more invested that way.
Yeah, it's not just like a bunch of gags thrown together until it stops.
Which all the others kind of are.
I'm not going to criticise anybody for that.
Yeah. Right, good. That's cartoons. So we will do another episode.
Yes.
Don't know when.
No.
But it'll be about cartoons that we've been advised to watch by the internet.
Yes.
If you want to advise us for particular episodes of well-known modern cartoons like Bravest Warriors, we've already watched one.
But, yeah.
We'll do a bit of Adventure Time, probably. Rick and Morty, I imagine.
Yeah.
And we'll think of some others. But if you think of any, then do email us at radiosharads.com.
Yep.
And radiosharads.com? No, that's not right.
Radiosharads@gmail.com.
It's been so long since we...
Oh, my goodness. Do you know, whenever you see that, I have a mental image of that kind of pixelated AOL lady.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well done, you.
Good.
But the listeners probably don't realise it, but this episode has been the longest to record.
Yes, it has.
Because we've done this broken up, normally we sit and we record an episode, but this one we've done in three sittings now?
I think so, yeah.
So I've edited the first bit, which talks about it being early December and Christmas is closing in. We are now in the dead zone between Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah, the weird empty
void. We don't know what day of the week it is.
It's mince pie day.
I think it's a day of the week.
It is a day of the week.
I don't think it's a weekend yet.
But we're kind of sort of stumbling out of Christmas as though we've escaped an explosion.
I'm hoping that...
And waiting for the rescue ship at a new year.
So I'm hoping we'll get this out to you lovely, lovely people by New Year.
Yes.
So any thoughts about what the New Year might hold for us, Tobe? Or for yourself? What about yourself? Are you resolving?
Am I resolving? Dissolving. I'm hoping it leads to vast wealth and great success.
In podcasting?
Yeah, let's go with that. Sure. Yeah, podcasting, writing, possibly my job, which I find doubtful, but you know.
I don't feel like you're striving as hard for the job as you maybe are for the writing.
Oh, that's the podcasting comes first, man.
A podcasting, right. Okay.
Yeah,
it's podcasting, that. Writing.
Yeah, and we haven't factored in making model kits either yet, so that's somewhere in the middle. And yourself?
Well, having dodged surgery on my back now, I am recovering a bit. I hope to continue to recover and to try and get fit with that. So that's kind of a resolution. Kind of an inevitability is the birth of...
Necessity?
Child number two.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Not birth of necessity. No, I'm not birthing necessity. That's weird.
So who's the mother of invention then?
I don't know whose invention. What are you talking about?
Let's crack on.
Yeah, having a child in January, courtesy of my good lady wife, official listener three, as she's better known. You're going to do the internet dating, Tobes?
Oh, God. I suppose I'd better. I look forward to this the way I look forward to a trip to a dentist. Right. You know, I really do.
We should have an episode on internet dating.
We should have enough. No, we won't. We will not be doing
that. Would you like the citizens of Radio Charades Land to help you with your internet dating? Because we could do
Serrano de Bergerac suggestions.
Serrano de Bergerac style, which is, of course, one of our favourite styles of wooing.
What, from a long way away from someone else?
Yes.
Actually, I have got quite a big nose. yeah. They can text in like suggestions.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I can't say it going wrong, can I?
You can't what?
See that going wrong.
No, there's no way that the internet could have any bad suggestions for you.
No, I don't think so.
Whoever listens to this. Whoever listens to this, official listeners and unofficial listeners, we ought to say, firstly, I hope you had a nice Christmas.
Yes.
I hope you have a lovely New Year.
Yes, likewise.
Thank you for listening to our podcast
in
2017. Possibly earlier than that, if you were one of the originals.
Yeah.
As a favour to us, it would be lovely if you spread the word a bit.
Yeah, please do.
We don't know quite what's going to happen in the New Year. Like I say,
no.
Child on the way, so my life's going to go chaotic, I should think. But we will do some more podcasting.
Yeah.
We shall throw it a bit. It would be nice to do it for a slightly larger audience.
No, it would be good.
No offence.
Yeah, yeah.
If you have
we like you both.
You're lovely people.
Yeah.
Owen and Toby.
Yeah.
If you do have any suggestions for future episodes, we'd love to hear those.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was good.
Generally, we like to hear from people.
I think so.
RadioCharades@gmail.com.
That's right.
Or the Facebook group.
Yeah.
Or the Facebook page.
Yes, we've got all these.
Yeah, Facebook page is mostly just for banter.
It is.
Oh, it's furious. Banter
and GIFs.
Lots of GIFs.
What are GIFs?
GIFs.
GIFs.
Please argue with us, internet. And there is even the Radio Charades Twitter as well.
Yeah.
Charades at
twitter.com.
Do you do that? No,
yeah,
it's at Charades, isn't it? That's how you twit.
Okay, right, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, Twitter.
So Twitter's up. Yeah.
Twitter's up. I'm going to say thank you very much to Chris for all his music that he supplies.
He has done a tremendous job.
Yeah, he also listens, so...
Oh, he's doubly good,
isn't
he?
He's doubly good.
He's committed.
He is committed.
He must be committed.
That's probably about it, isn't it?
Yeah, well, Happy New Year, listen.
Yeah, well done surviving 2017.
Yeah,
It's not been easy.
It's not been quite the disaster. I mean, I measure it as a success because it's neither a wasteland nor a dictatorship quite yet.
Quite yet.
And so, you know.
Looking forward to that in 2018.
Certainly am, Winston. Yeah. Or Max.
Either's fine.
Either's good. Yeah.
Right.
See you on the next one.
Bye-bye.
Bye.